Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello, welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. We're sort of in the middle of the chat now, so we're sort of hitting the ground.
We've hit so much running. Gold already.
So normally we have to move up to like a
I always think that with podcasts, I'm like, because they've always been chatting before they started. Yeah. I'd always be concerned that I've said my best things.
So. Yeah, I know.
We'll see.
It's awful, like, you know when they do it like in a contrived way? So, like, it's sort of to make it look like they're in the middle of chat.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of, yeah, I hate that. We haven't done
that. That's not what we've done.
No, that's not what we've done.
That was awful.
So, we are joined by singer-songwriter Dermot Kennedy. How are you?
Very good, thank
you. We normally do some shit chat beforehand, just us. But the problem is that, like, when people we've got on a kind of, like, a big deal, I feel bad making them...
Putting them through it.
Yeah, you sort of think your time is precious. You're over here for a little bit, aren't you?
No.
We could do some with him.
We could do some with you. Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Okay. What's the most boring thing that's happened this week?
Yeah.
Most boring thing that's happened this week. It's been a good week. I couldn't say. Genuinely, getting the train this morning. Yeah. We've already talked about that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
It was
fucking blistering, by the way. It's a shame we can't repeat that.
No.
Yeah, but the tube is shit, right?
Yes, but it's very reliable. And someone like me, who, do you know, you do that thing where you're like, all right, I'll leave at 5:30. But then if you miss that, it can't be 35. You got to go 1:45.
Yeah.
And so I am late constantly. So the tube actually does me a lot of favours.
Yeah, it is good, actually. I don't know why I said it was shit. It's great. Do you like the tube, Rupert?
No.
Why?
I just don't like being underground for a stretch of time.
I came up two escalators and I was like, that was very far.
I know. Think about how deep underground you've been. Yeah. It is frightening.
I'm an overground guy.
Yeah, I love being.
Yeah,
I love being.
Got your phone constantly on.
Have you been to Toronto?
Yeah, I was there 2 days ago.
Oh right, so you know in Toronto they've got that.
I've never seen this.
So like my uncle, I went over there when Lisa was pregnant with Theo. We went over to like just our last sort of trip of freedom. We went and stayed with my uncle in Toronto, and he said, "Oh, have you seen the underground city?" I'd never even heard of it, and to me, underground city feels like something you should have heard of, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd never heard of underground city. So basically, because it's so cold, like between the subways under there, they've got like shopping centre. Like there's basically a whole network under there, and Lisa and I checked it out. And listen, Toronto's great, but that underground city is
what people live there.
No, it's or not like they're not like trolls. It's
like something out of Total Recall.
No. It's just that you could spend the day being completely underground.
Oh, right.
I mean,
that's not really a city, though, is it? By definition,
I've been there because I go to the studio there. That's where I make a lot of my music, and I've been there about 20 times, and I've never even seen it. And my dad told me about it, and I call him on it every time. But no, it does exist, apparently.
Yes, it does exist. Yeah, I mean, I've been there, mate.
What's it like? Is it bad or?
I just, I sort of, to give you an idea of what I thought of it, I kept saying to Lisa, "Is this the underground city?"
So underground.
I sort of couldn't believe. Well, it's not shit, but it's fine. It is what it is. But
the only reason you went there, though, was it?
No. We had some overground stuff we wanted to do as well. But like, I was just sort of amazed by the idea of it. But
it does get so cold, though.
Yeah, it's insane.
Because even I was there last week and it was warm, and it's the prettiest place in the world. It's like everything that's good about Brooklyn, but not.
Yeah.
It's scaldy. And everyone is so happy. But then I was like, it's freezing here for 8 months.
Yeah. So. And they're very chilled out about that. Like, you know, it's just accepted. Yes, very good.
There you go.
They just sort of accept it, and they're very smiley, aren't they? And just nice.
Yeah, everyone's very happy. Yeah.
It's a good vibe there.
It is.
You know, I guess
I could do that. Could live there.
You could live there.
Yeah. I could.
We're sort of talking about where Dermot should.
Oh yeah,
live.
Where do you live, Dermot?
In Dublin. Yeah. But
in Dublin, as in the centre.
No.
Whereabouts?
About 40 minutes out.
I used to live in Dublin.
Did you?
Well, it's Shankill.
Oh, yeah.
7 years.
Is this true?
Yeah, I lived there for 7 years. I went to college there and everything.
What?
Yeah, I went to college in Dublin.
I think I know this about you.
Yeah, I've told you this.
Which college did you go to?
It's Dublin Tutorial on Mount Street.
Right.
Yeah. What did you study? Clicking there on the Dublin stuff.
What did you study?
I did my A-levels there, English, history and politics.
Okay. Did politics go really badly for you?
Yeah, it did.
The way you said politics, it was like somebody touched you during the course.
Yeah, it all just came back to me.
Why are you so ashamed of politics?
And I did it in a year. Politics. Like I'm some square. I don't want you guys to think I'm square.
Would you go back?
It's a good city, though. Yeah, I've been back a couple of times.
What made you leave?
My dad was working out there, so we just left when he finished up.
It's a good place. I miss it.
It's a good city.
Well, because you live there, but you're hardly ever there, you're saying.
Never there. Yeah. We had 4 gigs there a few weeks ago, and that was I was back for a week.
Yeah.
But I haven't been there for that long in years, I guess.
So, Dermot, your star is very much on the rise, isn't it? Like,
so I believe.
You're sort of... is it a situation where, and forgive me if I misunderstood this, but is it a situation now where over here we're now catching up to how big you are elsewhere? Is that right?
No, not really. It's funny because I guess being from Ireland, you kind of expect that to happen first, and it didn't. And
right.
I got to the point where I was playing a few shows in like New York and LA and stuff, and here as well, and even Germany and stuff, that were all sold out, but Ireland didn't seem as though it had kind of copped on yet. And then I went back and played a festival and it was rammed and everybody was singing along, and I was like, oh, this is cool, this is now like everything's balancing out. So it does feel like a balanced thing, which is great, because
there
I
was
know
no resentment from you when you went back and you're sitting out like, now you've jumped on the fucking
back. No. Imagine, yeah.
Just really angry set.
Great way to launch yourself, yeah.
But I am I try not to take it for granted that it's balanced, because I know it can be weird for artists who might be massive in their hometown and then nothing happens elsewhere. So I'm kind of appreciative for that.
So what did you go to America and do things there first? Or you were in Ireland and then you sort of got on a bit and then moved elsewhere? How did it work out?
Yeah, so I mean, Spotify was kind of the beginning of everything for me, and I did a show here, and a bunch of people came up to me afterwards and said, we heard it on Spotify today.
Right.
And so I went home and checked, and I had gone from a handful of plays a day to like 20,000 or 30,000 or something just in the day.
What was that feeling like?
Mad. It's funny because I always talk to people about how they're kind of like, oh, how did you do it? How did you blah, blah, blah? And I say, it's just like not lucky, because you make the work and you try and make the best songs you can, but also like, I know so many people who, if they had that little fluky bit, they'd be gone, you know?
Right.
And so, once that happened, I did more shows. To be honest, like, to sum it up quickly, Spotify moving the way it did for me meant I could postpone doing a record deal for ages.
And it
meant I could do a bunch of stuff that took me way down the road before I had to do that. And it put me in a really favourable position. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Being very honest.
Yeah, no, it's good. No, it's good. We like honesty on this. And so you're a singer-songwriter with a hip-hop soul, because like you're a massive hip-hop fan, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm just like an admirer. I always run the risk of being like, oh, kind of like Irish singer-songwriter thinks he knows what he's talking about. I don't. As a person who writes and who makes music, I think it's awesome. That's pretty, like, I'm just a fan. I think
it's interesting, isn't it? Because like you're a singer songwriter, but you can still know what you're talking about when it comes to hip hop. But people sort of want to pigeonhole people and just think, why are they talking about other shit? Do you know what I mean?
For sure, yeah. And I'm conscious of it all the time. And I did an interview in Toronto actually, and it was the first time there was a girl interviewing me, and she kind of was like, do you ever kind of worry about sort of commenting on like on things like that, and the way you could mention, say, maybe what Meek Mill's been through in the past 2 years, and to even mention that, and you're kind of instantly on the back foot, and people are like, well, why can you talk about that? It's like, I literally think he's cool, that's all. That was the first time someone was kind of like, who do you think you are talking? And I'm like, I'm not. I just think, God.
Well, I guess they're expecting you to talk about a certain area of stuff, and then when you start talking about that, just like, This isn't in my set list of questions that I wanted to ask you. Do you know what I mean? And now you're fucking moving out of the
zone. Yeah, the panic.
Yeah, I remember I did actually in Dublin. We did like a Sky thing. It's like a Sky promotional thing.
Oh, right.
And it was me, Jamie Redknapp, and Rob Beckett. And we had to talk. We were talking about League of Their Own, and all of the questions were about Jamie's dad on I'm a Celebrity. That's every single fucking question. It was like, so Jamie, how do you think your dad got on I'm a Celebrity? And he's like, yeah, he did really well. And then Romesh, how do you think? What do you think about Jamie's dad on I'm a Celebrity? I've got a fucking claim, man. I didn't watch it. I'm sure he did well.
Here's a little bit that you like to pull. How did you get into hip hop?
So how did you get into hip hop in the first place?
Through 50 Cent's album, Get Rich or Die Trying. I remember me and my mate Ro, it was just one of those friends you had where just every single day after school, I either went to his house or he came to mine, and I was in his house one day. And his older brother had that album. Yeah, and I mean, I thought about coming on here today and trying to describe what it is about it, but I instantly was just like, I'm into that in a very major way.
Yeah.
It's everything I love about songwriting just condensed. And then when the production hits so hard, it's like this really like powerful art form. Yeah.
When I pull up out front, you see the Benz on dude. When I roll 20 deep, it's 29s in the club. Niggas heard I fuck with Dre, now they wanna show me love. When you sound like Eminem and the Hulk, they wanna fuck. But homie, ain't nothing changed, hold down, G's up. I see exhibit in the cut, ain't nigga roll that weed up. If you watch how I move, you mistake before I play up here. Been hit with a few shells, but now I don't walk with a limp. In the hood,
it's a weird one, 50 Cent, isn't it? Because, do you follow him on Instagram, by the way?
Sometimes, it's hard.
Fucking hell.
So he bought all the seats to that Jarrell.
But not, was it just the front, the first 200 or something, wasn't it?
I think so. He just bought out a block, right. But the other thing he keeps doing now is he keeps saying that people owe him money. Have you seen this? Where, like, there was some director, and so 50 Cent said, he's just posting pictures of these guys going, you owe me money, get my money by Monday. And then, like... And then
really
it'd be
shit
like,
name for an album.
Yeah. Get Rich or Die Trying, followed up by Get Me My Money by Monday.
And then Get Me My Money by Tuesday. Just keep going.
But, like, he would, like, do things like he'd have a FaceTime chat with, like, these people that owe money. And then he'd fucking post that on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy just going, oh, I'm sorry. Look, why are you doing this, man? Like, why do you keep blowing me up on Instagram? And then 50 Cent is going, give me my money. Give me my fucking money. And he just posts it. He just doesn't give a shit, man. It's fucking mad.
Is that because he's been declared bankrupt? Was that?
Well, apparently that was a.
He's chasing it up.
Wasn't he doing that as a way of not having to pay something?
Move,
I think so. Like he was able to. I can't remember. There was some thing to it. But every day now, it's a new person. He's got Young Buck apparently owes him money.
Right,
it's like really small.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. I know. And then one of the guys. Oh god, he's an R&B singer from Power.
He bought him a drink once.
Well, I don't know. I'm just like I'd get nervous that by me clicking on his profile, I've somehow agreed to pay him some money at some point in the future. I'm
gonna get a FaceTime call from some number you don't know. But it's a funny one because I love the music so much, but then he'll obviously post videos of him like rolling around in bed with a bunch of money, and I'm obviously not into that.
Well, the thing about 50 Cent is that album in particular, like he can write a hook, man. Like, I mean, that is the thing about it. It's like at that time that album came out, he got himself a reputation for not giving a shit about who he insults or talks about. You know, like everybody sort of knew him as that guy. And then I remember like having the album on, and my mum like started going, "Who is this? This is catchy." Like, you know,
really?
Like, do you know what I mean? And you sort of think that's a testament to like how good his hooks were, because like. Yeah. He can write a catchy song, man. It's fucking amazing.
And I think that's one of my favorite things about it is that, like, instead of this thing of like, oh yeah, he got his first guitar when he was 6 and he wrote since he was 7, and it's like it's this guy from like Jamaican Queens who just has this crazy amount of talent and just kind of, I mean, I'm not sure at what point he became aware of it or anybody around him, but it's just this, like, I think that's why I like it so much, because in a way that I can kind of relate to that is that, like, I'm by no means a virtuosic musician. Like, it's a vehicle for me to play a song. And so whatever I do have is totally kind of instinctual, and it's not me, like, drawing on whatever talents I have. It's like I'm able to do this, and I feel like that's hugely important in rap as well, I think.
Yeah. And do you think, like, you know, the thing about 50 Cent that I find difficult is sort of what you've alluded to, is that when you're a fan of somebody, you like to believe, and whether that's true or not, but you like to believe that all they care about is the art that they're making, do you know what I mean? And 50 Cent very much is a results orientated guy. Do you know what I mean? Like he, you know, he's constantly talking about, you know, he's making loads of money from TV now and stuff, but all he's talking about, and I know rappers do this, all he's talking about is the money. And part of that, rappers do that because that's what they've been asked, or that's what they feel pressured to do. You know, that sort of, I've come from an impoverished background and now look at what I'm doing. And there's something to be celebrated in that. But it sort of does put you off a little bit, doesn't it?
Of course, yeah. And yeah, it's a funny one because, in a way, say if I've got a song that I'm going to come out with and I might be concerned that it's not necessarily like the best thing I've ever done. And I'm like, and obviously worst case scenario in your head is that everyone who liked you up until now is like, not cool anymore, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But then if we can put all that to the side with like hip hop, you got to trust people. Yeah. Like, it's mad the amount you put to the side when you appreciate somebody. But all I care about is like, but it's funny because all I care about is listen to the songs.
And
I guess that's why the J. Coles of the world are great, because they seem to actually just only care about
focus on that.
I think.
But it's weird. It's mad, isn't it? Because like people like J. Cole and obviously Kendrick. It feels like, I don't know, you know, how much they're doing with that, with an eye on how it's going to do. But it feels like they're just trying to push what they're doing. Like, they're trying to develop as artists. I mean, it's such a wanky thing to say, but I do mean it. You know, they're trying to do stuff that's like next level. Do you know what I mean? And then, and they're also being recognised. I mean, Kendrick's obviously a megastar. Do you know what I mean? As is J. Cole. But but for doing it without what looks like a grab for a catchy thing or whatever.
Yeah, of course. And I think as well, considering like the sort of subgenres now with all the Lils and the Babies and those guys. I'd say,
are you a Lil fan?
Nah, I'd say
Lil
I'd
Dermot.
Say no, yeah, I'd say yeah, wait no, next year we'll I'd say J. Cole and those guys feel like a certain obligation to kind of do true things.
To balance it out a bit.
For sure.
Because a lot of people, like mates of mine that aren't into hip hop, see hip hop as all being the Lils and the Babies now. Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't really see anything beyond that, really. How much are you, because I'm in the middle of writing a new tour show at the moment, right? And when you do that, I sort of worry, because I've been doing work in progress shows, and sometimes when I'm going out to do the work in progress shows, obviously I've got like a 90 minutes of new stuff. You worry about, are the people, you sort of said it, do the people who like me, are they going to like this? And in my head, I know, I feel that this is the best stuff I'm I've done. Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
With comedy, with anything like this, it's what people think. Do you know what I mean? And my fear that I'm going to go out on tour and people are going to go, fucking, what's happened to this guy, man? Like, even though I think it's better, you don't know how people are going to receive it. Does that ever affect you to the point where you might change what you're doing or whatever, or do you just sort of just do what?
Yeah, a little bit, but also in music, especially when you're starting out the way I am, and you know certain songs can take you to a certain place, in the same way that I'm sure I know if you wrote a certain outrageous joke, you'd probably get a bajillion views on everything. Yeah. And you're like, should I do that just for the sake of like that exposure?
Yeah.
And that exists within music too. And so if you're trying to get somewhere, I guess, which I am, which I would assume everybody is, they just don't say it. It's like, you try and sort of walk that line between having stuff that you know will take you somewhere, but also everybody who's on board so far doesn't think you've kind of discredited yourself. So I worry all the time. And I think I've definitely thrown away songs that would have been a great idea for fear of kind of embarrassing myself. I heard somebody talking about Young Thug, and they were like, any artist would love to have his confidence, because he just does a thing and it goes. And it's perfect. See you later. And I saw a video of him getting a tattoo last week, and he had a mic he was recording while he was getting a tattoo.
Jesus Christ.
And so, but it does. It affects me for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish it didn't, but you just do your best the whole time, don't you? And you'll have tons of worries, and you'll have times when you're not worried, but I think I've kind of started to accept that it's just all part of the process, all of it.
The the veering between thinking that you're really good at what you do and thinking that you should give up and it should be illegal for you to continue is fucking unbelievable.
And you're about to get found out.
Imposter syndrome is fucking so good, man. Delicious.
But it's great to have. If you don't have that, you gotta
you turn into a prick.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, you start releasing records that you made while getting a tattoo.
We had to basically take a recording, a live recording from a gig, to send to our lighting guy so he could sort of work to that. And I had to listen to it. It was fucking awful. I hate it. Oh my God. My own, because all I hear myself is like studio vocals, and then I never listen to live stuff ever. Do you
really?
Is that an important part of what you
do? Well, at the moment, I'm having to listen back to recordings of myself to sort of work on the stuff.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not exaggerating. I will sit with headphones on, listen to it, and
chuckling away.
No, my wife, oh god, he is such a card. No, honestly, Lisa tells me to keep down because I just be going, "You fucking idiot!" Every now and again, I'll say something on stage and laugh at it, and then I'll say when I'm listening to it back, "It's not that fucking funny, you prick." Having a go at this bloke on the stage like it's a comedian I hate. Do you know what I mean? Just it's so fucking agonising. I never watch anything I do ever.
Yeah.
Unless I have to for edit reasons or whatever, but I find it agonizing. I love the making. I think the thing with this job is the creating of it is paradise,
right?
And then having to release it for public consumption is the fucking worst.
Do you like the live stuff?
I love doing it. Yeah. I absolutely love doing it. But if I listen to it back, all I hear is the mistakes and stuff like that. Yeah. You never really feel like you've nailed it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but in a way that's, I find as well, I'm like, if I can listen back to a live thing myself, hate it that much, but then the gigs keep selling out, I'm like, I'm obviously wrong when I have these sort of thoughts. And so, yeah, in a way, it's kind of strangely reassuring.
Then you get nervous that you might start to enjoy it. And that actually paradoxically means that you're being shit.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So you got into it through Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah.
And then what else?
My mum loved that as well.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And then what other stuff did you start listening to after that?
I feel like 50 Cent was like the focus of my thing for a long time.
Right.
And then you see, like, I was at an age where I had no awareness about anything. And not that it matters because I'm from Ireland anyway, but like 50 Cent, I would be mad about him. And then Clapback by Ja Rule came out and I was like, this is brilliant. You know what I mean? We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back. Something they hollering about room, nigga, here's the real. I pop the top like champagne bottles to chill or nothing but ice. Now I send it up to the greatest to tell them I'm nice too. Plus push some nice goose that ain't roll like Deuce, man. I'm OG Bobby J and we slinging soccer fields, yeah. They don't respect that or get your mind around and get it pushed back. Yeah, I feel like then, I don't think I ever stopped listening to it, but maybe like when I started playing the guitar and writing myself, I was very deep into like the David Grays and Ray LaMontagne and all that kind of stuff, and I was figuring that out. And then the last few years I've kind of been, like if I was to leave here, it's just, I wouldn't think twice about, like it would just instantly be like probably Meek Mill's album, yeah. Nobody to give me no hope. I hope my mama ain't doing no coke. I used to wish that my daddy was living. I had a dream that I seen him a ghost. I used to end up when I went to school. Thought it was cool, but I really was hurt. Wanted my family to cut in my games. My mama could make it cause she was at work. Remember my grandma, she took me to church. Really, no, I ain't wanna go. Remember I kissed my aunt in a casket and her forehead was cold. I was like 4 years old. We couldn't afford no clothes.
It was hand-me-down. Who would think a nigga get a Grammy now? Got a black judge trying to tear me down.
I think he's great because it's just in art, I guess, these days. Like, I often talk about this, that like if I bring something out on a Friday, like a single, there's probably 60 other people doing the exact same thing. And yeah. So there's so much music all the time now. And then everything that happened with Meek Mill happened, and he came out and brought the album out. And like, for the first time in I don't know how long, it felt like someone really, like, their whole struggle was like in that project. Yeah. And they were really saying something, and I think that's so rare. So yeah.
Meek Mill, I know he's massive in the States, obviously.
Yeah.
But here, I don't think he...
Really, yeah.
Well, I just think he's fucking one of the best, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think he's so good. But it's funny what you say about the amount of music, right? Because I had this thing happen to... Because, like, Kanye's album, Life of Pablo, right? You were raving about it when it came out, and I listened to it, I thought, this is fine, it's good, it's good. Sure. And then we had Mark Ronson on the podcast the other day, right? And he said, I think Life of Pablo is an incredible album. And then since then, I thought, I'm going to give this... And it's fucking brilliant.
Why do you only listen to Mark Ronson's opinion?
Why do I listen to Mark Ronson over you? I don't know, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But like...
Trailblazer.
It made me feel bad because I thought, this album's fucking great. And he's obviously, like, worked his ass off to make this album. And I've just fucking given it a cursory listen.
Isn't that just a patience thing? Or it's like, because there is so much music coming out, you're suddenly like, oh, this has got a hit straight away.
Well, it's, and then you're like, it's you a don't weird give it
the...
one.
Oh, yeah, and it comes down to the whole 7-second intro.
Especially
thing.
If there's like a big old build-up to the release.
Have you seen that thing that some artists have been putting out of the way that people listen to an album? Like, casual listeners, they're like, they show the thing where they put the album on and then they scroll across to the middle of the track.
Oh,
listen
no.
to it for a little bit, then they go to the next one, scroll across to the middle of the track, listen to that for, it's horrible.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, people film
well, they were just saying, this is how I've heard some people listen to music or decide whether they're going to listen to an album or not, and it's disgusting.
Music that's is very right. scientific.
Absolutely. That's one of the worst I've heard.
They just go to like a minute and a half in and then...
Yeah, just go, I wonder what this one's
this
like.
Is,
I wonder
this
what this one's
growing,
like.
Yeah.
That's very sad.
It is really sad, isn't it?
And we're, as musicians, we're forced to do these vertical videos now because people literally aren't arsed to turn their phone on this side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Are they shot, specially for that?
Or yeah, yeah. I have to do it today.
Whilst you're doing the
You got to do a vertical video?
Yeah. Imagine.
You should just do it like that, really, still.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you lean to the side at all, they're like, no! Yeah, it's because, well, someone told me it's one of the reasons is that people are no longer bothered to flip their phone on the side to watch, because I mean I do it even if you watch something on YouTube, I find myself watching it but also just like scrolling through the comments. It's terrible.
It's horrible.
It's really bad. It's frightening me. My oldest son is double screening all the time now. He plays Fortnite while watching Friends.
Oh god,
it's what watching an insane Friends. Combination.
Wow. What a classy like it's, combination.
It's like he's got it. So much on.
Yeah.
Right, dude, it's half term. You've literally got nothing to get to. What the fuck's going on here, man? Also, the other thing I want to ask you about is you ended up working with Mike Dean, right?
Yeah.
How the fuck did that happen?
That's I don't know. Mad. I mean, I'm signed to Interscope, so
right.
It was like my A&R there at the time just made that connection. And right. Yeah, like, but to answer your question, I don't know. And we ended up, yeah, we did an EP. I basically had a few songs that I cared about but weren't going to be on an album or weren't going to be like... singles. So
and why is that? Why weren't they going to be in an album?
I didn't love them enough.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and over it actually quite relevant to what we were saying. Like they were ones that a year previous I had been like, nah, these aren't good enough. I can't have this. And then a year later I was like, oh, these are actually quite nice. I like these. And so yeah, we got in the studio with him for that. It was mad.
What was he like to work with?
Lovely. Like he's stoned all day. Like all day. Yeah. He never stops smoking. But. Yeah, he could not have been nicer though. Especially me going in there with like there's no way he knew who I was before I was flagged to him. And he couldn't have been nicer. And it was cool because kinda the world he comes from and everything he's done, and then we had this song that he was working on, and it literally has like a good bit of banjo in it, and he was into it. In fact, I went from not liking the songs to liking them while I was in the room with him, because he was so into it, and I was like, well, this guy knows what's good.
Yeah. I don't know how much of an admirer of Mike Dean, you were going into that process. But like sometimes, did you feel free to sort of express your true opinions about what was going? Like, would you have felt nervous to go, I don't really like where
Yeah, with a character like that. Yeah. But the funny thing is, because he'll totally kind of disarm you in that way, and he'll work away and he'll be like, "What do you think of that snare?" And it's like, you're like Dean. You,
yeah, it's great. Yeah, yeah. I didn't actually hear it, but it's great.
Yeah. But definitely. I was like taking a back seat, and then if he asked, I'd tell him. But I'd like to, because those songs already existed, I'd like to get in again and like write with him and see what that process is like.
Right. Yeah.
He's done a lot, and I mean, I even wasn't aware of what he'd done. You know what I mean? Because when you're out there, you're doing different sessions every day, and I knew it was a big deal, obviously. But like, yeah, and then even was sort of like more inclined to look into what he's done in the past, considering the year he's just had with everything, with those six albums coming out in the summer. I don't know how he does it, to be honest.
Because he's like, I mean, he is basically Kanye's guy, right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they put out a lot of shit, didn't they?
I think he's been on everything. Right. He was telling me about the Watch the Throne thing, and they were in the Mercer Hotel in New York for just a month or something.
And did he give you any insight into how Kanye is to work with now?
A little bit, yeah. He told me actually on The Life of Pablo that for the home stretch, they were in, like, when it was almost done, they were in separate rooms, and they were in the same building but did not talk. And they would send each other stuff, but it was really kind of like, I'm in here and you're in there. And
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's fucking horrible, man.
Yeah, it must have been weird. Yeah. But I mean, who knows what Kanye West is like.
I know. I sort of feel like we'll figure it out at some point, or it'll get figured out, like, when he's gone or something. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. It's such a...
Yeah, but that's the case with so many kind of greats, isn't it? That, like, even, like, hundreds of years ago, no one really acknowledged them as great until they were gone for a long time.
Well, it's a weird one, because, like, I know, like, Magna Carta, Jay-Z's album, came out around the same time as Yeezus, and, like, I remember, like, everybody's going about how Magna Carta was good and Yeezus was sort of almost unlistenable, I remember, is what people's take on it at the time was. But Yeezus has proven to, like, people have got into Yeezus now, and it's a great album. But what was so amazing about that is the thing about Kanye is you can never accuse him of, like, not trying to push it on a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, whether you like what he's doing or not, he's still trying to change things up. Do you know what I mean? I mean, let's put, and you know, as you said, we have to put a lot to one side when you're listening
to it. Yeah, it was funny though, because not funny, but like when he came out and actually did concede that he struggles mentally, it was like, happy days. Yeah. We kind of, like, instead of everyone thinking he's an arsehole forever.
I know.
But the music is. And then in that Zane Lowe interview, when he's talking about Yeezus, and he talks about Dark Twisted Fantasy, and he's like, that was perfect and mellifluous and pretty, and I can do that easily. But he was like, "Yeezus is what frustration sounds like."
It's
true.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Has your interest in hip hop, because obviously from talking to you, I can tell you really properly love it. Has that impacted into your music? I mean, obviously you work with Mike Dean, but I mean, like, in your actual songwriting and stuff like that.
I think so. Yeah, but certainly not consciously. I don't try and do anything. And if anything, when you're in the studio, you can really, like, it becomes very clear when you're taking it too far and you're trying to do Irish hip-hop thing. Yeah. You're like, that's, I can't do that. And,
spit a Hot 16 or whatever.
There's times where it influences me and you're like, this is a nice mix of what I am and a little bit of what I'm influenced by. But then there's times where you can take it too far. But I rather than know, I kind of just have different producers tell me, like, oh, you're... thing seems kind of like you got to flow here and there, but I don't do it intentionally.
Right.
But I think it does, for sure.
Yeah.
And in the production as well. Like, I mean, generally we're on, like, it was a couple of years ago it happened for the first time, we just put super heavy programmed drums into it.
Yeah.
It was like a really aggressive kind of hip-hop style beat, and it was me and my acoustic guitar, so it was this lovely thing where I realised, I think you can mix those two things, maybe.
You're not planning on putting out some fire mixtape of just you?
No, I couldn't.
Under a pseudonym.
I'd love to give it a go.
Under a pseudonym.
That could save me a lot of
embarrassment. What would the name be?
Who knows?
Got it? That's a good name.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. And I could have the album Get Me My Money by Monday.
Would you ever collaborate with rappers?
Yeah, I would like to do that. Travis Scott was on the phone in Mike Dean's place. And
Mike Dean did a very Mike Dean type thing and answered the FaceTime when Travis Scott was there, and he just gave me the phone.
Oh my god,
that's horrible.
And, and it's probably the best way to do it, because otherwise you'd panic and be like, hello, sir.
But I know I'll get annoyed when my mum's on the phone to a relative and then passes me the phone. I mean, that's
when my phone rings at all. I generally don't answer the phone.
So how was that conversation? Was it okay?
It was very brief. Mike had sent him my song Moments Past, which was great, because if there's anything I'd ever send to Travis Scott, it would be that. And and so he just said he was into it, and and I think I was kind of bumbling over myself, so just took the phone back. But
I remember, like, I did a show in America and I was talking to the producer of the show, and he got took a phone call, and he answered it, and it was Rev Run.
Right.
And I nearly fucking fell off the fucking
just
chair.
Just a phone call.
Just for being a. He didn't even pass. He wouldn't even pass me the phone, because he's like, "Fuck you, talking to me." But like, it's just knowing that Run was on the phone to the guy opposite me. Fucking lost my mind, man. So, have you been to much? Do you go to many hip hop gigs? Have you been to many?
I haven't. I had the privilege of seeing Kendrick play to 1,000 people in Dublin.
Wow. Holy shit.
And I wasn't even... My cousin got it for me for Christmas, and it played a place called Vicar Street. Have you been there? And yeah, it was just
was that like
chaos.
A secret
I was just on the outskirts.
Was that a secret gig?
No, it was the stage he was at. Yeah.
And when would that have been?
Oh, years ago. What would that be? I mean, I don't even know. 6-7 years ago?
Right.
I mean, it was all Good Kid, Mad City. That's
right.
What
okay.
But
so that kind of era.
Chaos, yeah. It was him and a DJ, and the DJ was drinking Hennessy and smoking, and it was like...
Was it a good show?
It was like, it was really good. And at the end, he said, no matter how big this gets, I'll always remember these shows. Yeah. And now he plays Hyde Park.
Yeah, that was a lie though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I say that.
We went to see him at the O2. It was fucking mad. Yeah.
If you met him, I were like, do you remember Vicar Street?
So what hip hop are you listening to at the moment? Are you still... you're Meek Mill, you said.
Often. I still go back to Stormzy's album.
Right.
This is probably... I'm always reluctant to say it, but I do listen to an awful lot of Drake.
Do you? Yeah,
I do.
Well, I've been converted.
Have you?
Yeah.
Was that Mark Ronson again, was it?
Look, I'm sorry, all right? It's just that it reminded me. It wasn't that I trust his opinion more than yours, okay? I'm sorry, Rupert.
That's okay.
But, I sort of... Because I basically... I would say doing this podcast has sort of changed my attitude to it a bit, like, you know, in terms of I was very much like fucking beats and rhymes and all this shit, and I'm not, obviously Drake can rap, I'm not saying that, but like I had a much more narrow idea of what I thought was my kind of hip-hop. And so, and then I think it was like Marlon Davis, comedian, came on here and he just said, look man, he goes, you just got to listen to it with a bit more of he's fucking so talented, what he does is great.
And there's certain, like, I've been to see him a few times in Dublin, and there was one tour that was like, I'd say he got through about 60 songs on the night, and it was like snippets of everything, and just the quality of everything was outrageous. And then the next tour was the one where he had the wavy pink balls. Did you see that? And it was like One Dance and Control and stuff. And that stuff I never ever listened to.
Yeah.
I appreciate it's like gigantic and probably genius by everybody involved, but I don't listen to it.
Yeah.
Like I would listen to like his stuff, like the stuff that's only on YouTube, like the 5 AM in Toronto and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's just incredible, I think.
You underestimated greatly. Most number ones ever, how long did it really take me? The part I love most is they need me more than they hate me. So they never take shots, I got everybody on safety. I can load every gun with bullets that fire backwards. You probably wouldn't lose a single rapper. Niggas make threats, can't hear them over the laughter. Yeah, that's cause I'm headed to the bank, nigga.
Sinatra, yeah, there's something about it. And yeah, there's that weird thing of kind of like, even today you'll always kind of say J. Cole before you say Drake, because there is this weird sort of like, is he good or not? But some of the wordplay is beautiful, I think. And then there's like the ghostwriting thing, but who knows?
I know. But then all these big guys seem to have those kind of accusations flying around, don't they?
Yeah, it's just like something that's that big and there's that much riding on it. I don't believe for one second there isn't like 10 people.
It's just the pressure he must be under when he's putting a record together, right, and you've got the resources to bring in the best people if you want to fucking help you out. Why, I guess you could sort of go, why wouldn't you? How could you resist the pressure to do that? And, do you know what I mean? It's like,
for sure, yeah. Plus, when every single person in the world probably wants to be in there, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
And also, the other thing is, like, you're going, if you're working with people that you really trust and respect, and people that you think are really good, working with them is going to make your record better, probably. Do you know what I mean? Like, so why wouldn't you do that, I guess? I mean, I think people like to have a reason to sort of, to undermine somebody, do you know what I mean?
And for sure, yeah. I wonder, I'd love to know if he has any, like, I'm sure he does, but if he just exists in this state of, like, I'm the best, I don't worry about anything.
Yeah, I doubt it. Unlikely. He fucked up Anthony Joshua, though, didn't he? That was bad.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That what, was after the fight?
Not after the fight, mate. He's the reason that Anthony Joshua lost.
Yeah.
Go on.
You know this curse? You know the Drake curse?
No.
That every time an athlete or a sports person has a photo with Drake, they lose in whatever they're doing after that. So Aubameyang from Arsenal had his photo taken. We lost the next game. And then Anthony Joshua had his photo taken. And I thought, finally, this Drake curse is going to get broken because he's not going to lose to Ruiz.
Fucking mad, isn't it? There might be something to it. Yeah. It's at the point
This is the one where I thought, fuck, okay, this is fucking next level, because I don't know if you've seen the photos of Ruiz, but he doesn't look like, I mean...
Makes me feel good.
I felt great.
Yeah.
Sort of, it's the first time I thought, oh... The heavyweight champion of the world is probably in similar nick to me. I mean, that is...
the Drake thing is mad. It got to the point where when Toronto were playing Milwaukee, he wore a Milwaukee shorts under his trousers just to curse them. Wow. Apparently, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
So
you wouldn't let him in your games, would you?
No.
No. I mean, he must be banned now. You have to ban him if you've got any sort of concern about your career.
Imagine that. Imagine he did approach you, though. And you were like,
Get the fuck away from me, you jinx. Fucking jinx.
Oh, man. Hip-hop grapes.
So, is there anything about hip-hop you don't like?
Nothing that I haven't really said. Did you see that guy? Is it Blueface? He had that Tatiana song.
Bust down, Tatiana. Bust down, Tatiana. I wanna see you bust down, pick it up, not break that shit down, break it down, speed it up, then slow that shit down.
And he came out and he full on was like, I don't like music. he was on the Breakfast Club, like, right, massive thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, I straight up do not like it. He was like, I'm rich from it and I'm having a good time, but music can do one. And
really?
Does he mean the industry?
I think he meant music as an art form. Yeah, I think he did. And I'm not sure.
Anyone who says stuff.
I don't know. I mean, it's a bit mad, isn't it? Like, there's like pros and cons to it being the rock and roll of today, isn't there? And then on the other hand, I'm like, good for him, you know?
Actually, the mad thing is that because that song went big because of social media, right?
Like, yeah.
It's like the biggest... Do you know TikTok? It's like the biggest fucking song on TikTok.
What is and TikTok?
TikTok is like... it's like these little short videos.
Mm. Oh, where you sing along.
Yeah. But it's pushed on from that because it used to be called... Oh, my God, I'm fucking boring
myself.
Damn
the kids,
but
mate.
It used to be called Musical.ly. I only know this because my kids are fucking obsessed with TikTok. But, like, it used to be Musical.ly, so you just mime along to these things. You can add effects and shit, and now it's moved on from that. And it's like, people are getting fucking famous, like, TikTok famous, right? Like, it's mad. Anyway, that's... And so certain songs get picked up as, like, the trend that everybody's doing their bits to. And so that song... As weirdly, it's become like, finally, my kids are getting some gateway into hip-hop. Not the perfect gateway,
but a
gateway. Mm. The other gateway I talked about was the Spider-Man animated movie, because that's all hip-hop on that soundtrack. Mm. And now my kids are like, oh, who's this? I'm like, oh, yes, finally. It's finally, yeah, come on, let me show you. What do you think about the sort of, what's your attitude towards... having lyrical, you know, like, because there's this argument, not argument, but, you know, some people say you have to be able to rap to be a proper hip-hopper, and there's other people that are like these new artists who can't, like, you know, the Lils or whatever, they don't really give a shit about actually being able to spit, if you like, do you know what I mean? What's your sort of take on that?
I think you know, I hate it, but yeah, it's, I mean, what's funny is, I went to see Bon Iver last night in Victoria Park, and he did an interview about his newest album a while back, and he some of his lyrics are the most beautiful I've ever come across. It's like it's not even the way I do it, where it's kind of like it rhymes a lot and it's like it's quite I don't want to say this about myself, but it's almost like quite surface level. With him, it's like actual poetry in the sense that you would read it back and be like, oh, I see, I get this, and now I get this, and it's genius to me. And but he said on his latest album, he was like, I kind of threw the idea of meaningful lyrics out the window, and he fully focused on what was phonetically pleasing,
right.
and he basically used it as another aspect of the music and wanted it to sort of roll the way it should. And so he's got lines that are literally like some made up words, some stuff that is just literally word casserole, and it just rolls along, but it's part of how the whole piece works together. So he has thrown out like I love you baby type lyrics,
and in
search of like things that work the best. But yeah, the rappers who kind of throw it out, it's like, well, what do you do then, you know?
Yeah.
Like what are you about, you know?
It's mad because sometimes, like, because I always used to think, you sort of think it's about metaphors and all this, you know, complex.
Sure, yeah.
But like for example, there's Sean Price, who's like passed away, but like Sean Price, there's something about the way he raps that I could listen. I don't care what he's talking about. It's
right.
Just like there's something to the tone of his voice and the way the rhythm in what he does, his style, that actually over and above what he's saying musically, I love it. Do you know what I mean? Like I could listen to him rap all day. Do you know what I mean? And certain things like that, and it's certain rappers, some rappers just have that intangible thing. It's not even about their sort of skill levels, it's about there's just something about them, do you know what I mean? The musicality to it, and that's something that you sometimes forget about, don't you, with hip hop more than any other genre.
Totally, yeah, and it ties into that sort of just like raw talent thing. It's just like I literally, before Bon Iver played last night, I said to my mate, I was like, what is it, like, why do you get those full body chills when he's saying like something that makes no sense? and it's like I often think it might be a visual thing that, because I get it maybe less when I listen to the record. It's when I see him sing it, and it's like when I see the emotion in his face, and also I think the tone of the voice is a massive part of it. It's like these little sort of, my mate had a program where he could slow down Justin Vernon's voice, and he was like, it's mad when you do that because it's all these little dips, and it seems like one sustained falsetto note, but it's like all these little textures and stuff. So who knows? I don't know, but I know what you're saying. I really do, about when you just get a feeling and you don't care what they're saying.
I know,
Plug one, plug two, guest plugs for you.
Right, well, listen, we're sort of out of time here, but you have been, I would say, best guest we've ever had.
Best guest.
Yeah.
Best guest. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Did you have anything you wanted to push?
Yes. Well, yeah, what was going to look forward to from you?
I have a single coming out soon. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I do. And and I can't wait for that. So, I mean, plug everything I've done so far. Go listen to that.
Great. All right, brilliant. Dermot, thank you so much, man. You've been great.
Thank you.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.